ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the incredible.
Ladies and gentlemen. So are you ready for your show?
Hola, baby. Soy little Steven. Bienvenido a Little Steven's Underground Garage and Rock FM.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Buenas noches, familia. 7 días ya han pasado desde nuestro último encuentro en el Underground Garage aquí en Rock FM. Yo soy Carlos Medina y me tienes, como cada domingo, dispuesto a acompañarte en el show de esta noche. Y ya que estamos, resumir lo que tenemos por delante es algo complicado porque nos detendremos en diferentes temáticas. Hay una que me ha llamado especialmente la atención y que tiene que ver con el arranque del show. Concretamente con una de las canciones que escucharemos enseguida, Louie Louie, en su versión de los Kingsmen. Resulta que a primeros del mes de febrero de 1964, el gobernador de Indiana, Matthew Welch, declaró aquella versión como pornográfica. Sí, tal cual. De hecho, se solicitó a las estaciones de radio del estado que no pincharan la canción. La situación llegó a tal punto que el FBI abrió una investigación al respecto. Después de 2 años y medio, finalmente se desistió en continuar con la investigación. Se concluyó que la voz en la canción y las partes referidas a ser pornográficas eran ininteligibles a cualquier volumen y velocidad de reproducción. ¡Qué cosas! Enseguida disfrutamos juntos de la canción. De momento es hora de arrancar oficialmente el Underground Garage. Lo hacemos con música, como no podía ser de otra manera. The Night Ain't Long Enough, Gina Raven, en el show de Little Steven. Buenas noches.
February 1st, 1964, or thereabouts, the governor of Indiana declared the song Louie Louie by the Kingsmen to be pornographic. and requested that the state's radio stations not play the song. The band had been ratted out by some creepy weasel squealing do-gooder would-be Boy Scout butt-kissing traitor to all teenagers who sent a copy to Governor Matthew Welch saying the lyrics were obscene. After the governor and his executive secretary listened to the record, slowed down from 45 RPM to 33 and a third, they agreed and called the president of the Indiana Broadcasters Association, who sent telegrams to the radio stations to stop playing the record. This led to a 30-month investigation by the FBI, 30-30, who would interrogate everybody associated with the song, except, of course, Jack Ely, the lead singer of the King's Men, who sang the song and had been quietly and despicably fired from the band. The whole fabulous story is in what might be the greatest book about rock and roll ever, Dave Marsh's Louie Louie. As incredible as it seems that a governor and the FBI would take the time to think about song lyrics, even in 1964, it happened. Dave Marsh had a partial explanation. In a culture that interprets puberty as a tragedy of lost innocence, rather than a triumphal entry into adulthood, the possibility of someone actually giving vent to sexual feelings remains deliciously scandalous. Sex is bad, and somebody singing about it would be really bad. After 2.5 years, the FBI finally gave up. They found Jack's vocal unintelligible at any speed.
This is Jack Ely, the original lead singer of Louie Louie by the Kingsmen. You are with Little Steven in the Underground Garage, a very cool place to be.
Around the other Where's your vice?
Vice? I have no vice. I'm as pure as a driven snow.
But you drifted.
Oh!
If I had told her that I loved her, she would have stayed till who knows when. But I guess she couldn't understand it when I said I wanna be your friend. Because a friend could never doubt you or ever put you up tight. And now I wonder what she's doing tonight. Oh yes, I wonder what she's doing tonight. Oh, I wonder what she's doing tonight. Ah, ah, ah. We were so close, but we should have been closer. And it's making me feel so sad. Tell myself I didn't lose her, 'cause you can't lose a friend you never had.
Come on now.
Because a friend won't say it's over and go out just for spite. And now I wonder what she's doing tonight. Oh yes, I wonder what she's doing tonight.
Youngsters be interested in knowing how you happened to be caught tonight. Well, I'm going to tell you anyhow. You're all in custody tonight because you've been working for the Communist Party.
That's a lie.
This is the FBI, son. You don't hear lies here.
Party lights, do you miss the party lights?
we started the show with the Polish queen of rock and roll, Genya Raven, and The Night Ain't Long Enough, that track from Urban Desire, 1978. If you haven't read her book, Lollipop Lounge, we highly recommend it, along with Dave Marsh's book, Louie Louie, of course, which we started the first set with. The hit, the Kingsmen's version, They Out of Portland, the song originally written by Richard Berry, who stole it from Rene Touze, and the glorious thievery continued right through Rockin' Robin Roberts and the Wailers. Jack Healy, Mike Mitchell, Bob Nordby, Don Gallucci, and Lynn Easton were the Kingsmen. And in the third biggest theft in the history of rock and roll, Lynn Easton's mother trademarked the name, and Lynn immediately threw lead singer Jack out of the band and became the lead singer. We ain't got nothing yet from the Blues Magoos out of the Bronx. Psychedelic Lollipop was the album, 1966. Electrocutioner. Yeah, brand new from Soraya. Very cool stuff. Written by Zuzu and Travis, and they produced it with Stephen LaFascia. Get it from Soraya.com. Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart, fantastic songwriters and producers, had one hit themselves, I Wonder What She's Doing Tonight. They wrote and produced a lot of the Monkees' hits, made a bunch of great records. Party Lights, Bruce Springsteen, the E Street Band from the new collection, The Ties That Bind. Everything you've always didn't even know you wanted from the river. Out now on Columbia. Cool stuff. Cool stuff that is unintelligible at any speed.
You here to make fun of me too?
No, ma'am. We at the FBI do not have a sense of humor we're aware of.
Aquí me tienes de vuelta. Esta noche es obligado dedicar parte del Underground Garage al cine. Lo hacemos además recordando una magnífica película que se estrenó el 29 de enero de 1964. Teléfono rojo, volamos hacia Moscú. La cinta fue dirigida por el genial Stanley Kubrick y protagonizada por Peter Sellers, quien encarna a tres personajes en la película. Es una comedia negra que hay que ver sí o sí. La historia nos narra en blanco y negro la disparatada idea de un general de la Fuerza Aérea estadounidense de dar comienzo a una guerra nuclear con la Unión Soviética. Todo comienza cuando Jack D. Ripper, nombre de este general, cree que hay una conspiración en marcha por parte de los soviéticos para fluorar el agua estadounidense y contaminar así a toda la población. De modo que decide ordenar que despegue una escuadra nuclear con el objetivo de bombardear Moscú. Aquí comienza esta locura surrealista que no puedes perderte. La película fue nominada a una buena lista de premios, incluidos 4 Oscars, a la mejor película, actor, guión adaptado y director. No se llevó ninguno de estos, pero sí 3 premios del cine de la Academia Británica, entre otros festivales. Otra de Kubrick que hay que ver por lo menos una vez en la vida. Todo tuyo, Little.
Again. Dr. Strangelove opened this week, 1964. I've never met anybody who didn't consider it one of the greatest movies ever made, and one of the top 3 comedies, along with the original producers and pick your Marx Brothers, Horse Feathers, Duck Soup, or A Night at the Opera. The movie actually didn't start out as a comedy, as director Stanley Kubrick began to write the screenplay based on a book called Red Alert by Peter George. He kept finding himself taking parts out and leaving parts out that, by the nature of mutually assured destruction, seemed comical. The absurdity and paradox of nuclear annihilation being used to protect us eventually got to him, and he brought in Terry Southern to help him make it a black comedy. The star of the movie, Peter Sellers, had given Kubrick Terry Southern's The Magic Christian to read, and he knew he'd be right for Dr. Strangelove. Columbia Pictures would only bankroll a flick if Peter Sellers played 4 roles, because of Sellers' multiple roles in Kubrick's previous film, Lolita. He'd end up playing 3 roles, including the title role, Dr. Strangelove, the former Nazi physicist and advisor to the president. Sellers would use Rand Corporation strategist Hermann Kahn and former Nazi Werner von Braun, as well as Edward Teller as his language models, not Henry Kissinger, as we all thought, with a touch of Austrian-American photographer Ouija. Strangelove's appearance would come from Fritz Lang's villains of the 20s, who always had a physical disability, hence Strangelove's mechanical arm, which kept wanting to do the Nazi salute. Kubrick always wore gloves, so Sellers copped that for the character also. For President Merkin Muffley, Sellers used an American Midwestern accent he'd gotten from Adlai Stevenson, the former governor of Illinois who ran for president in 1952 and 56. His group captain Lionel Mandrake was easy. He just imitated his former superiors in the RAF. He was supposed to play Major T.J. King Kong, the bomber pilot, but he sprained his foot on the set and couldn't maneuver in the B-52 cockpit. So, thank God, they got Slim Pickens, who, along with George C. Scott's greatest performance, almost stole the show. When Pickens showed up on the set in cowboy boots, a cowboy hat, and a fringe jacket, the English actors all thought he was the ultimate method actor. It wasn't until near the end of the film they realized he wasn't acting at all. That was just him. They changed the ending at the last minute. The original ends in a pie fight in the war room, with George Scott's General Turgidson declaring, "Our gallant young president has been struck down in his prime." But Kennedy being assassinated 2 months before the movie was set to open changed all that, and they used the montage of the end of the world against Vera Lynn's "We'll Meet Again."
For my feet. Come on and shake,
shake it, baby.
Shake it up, baby.
Shake it, baby.
Come on now, baby.
Shake it, baby.
Why don't be, baby?
Shake it, baby.
You're driving me crazy.
Shake it, baby.
Come on, come on.
Shake it, baby.
Come on and shake,
shake it, baby.
Shake it up, baby.
Shake it, baby.
Shake,
shake it, baby.
Talking that talk, you knocking me out right off of my feet. I need you right now. I mean right now. I don't mean tomorrow. I mean right now. Come on, come on. Come on, shake it up, baby.
Come on and shake it. Baby.
Shake it up, baby.
Shake it, baby.
Come on now, baby.
Shake it, baby.
Come on now, baby.
Shake it, baby.
Come on and shake,
shake it, baby.
All right, all right.
This is Hilton Valentine of the Animals, and you're with Little Steven in the Underground Garage.
Yes, sir, I have.
Goldie, how many times have I told you guys that I don't want no horsing around on the airplane?
I'm not horsing around, sir. That's how it goes.
Well, I've been to one world fair, a picnic, and a rodeo, and that's the stupidest thing I ever heard come over a set of earphones.
Oh, that's where it is. And I know Play Doggy on there before I don't know it. See, I got a roller before I'm still. You see, my skin is white, but my soul is black. And that hot black coffee, that's where it's at. As it can be. Black tea
can't compare with me.
That's right. Black tea, well, it's as good as it can possibly be. But it's a cup of black coffee, that's what a working man needs. And I want to tell you, back in America, that's the land of the free. You can get it. From underneath your breath, said I don't know, make you feel good.
You mentioned the ratio of 10 women to each man. Wouldn't that necessitate the abandonment of the so-called monogamous sexual relationship? I mean, as far as men were concerned.
Regrettably, yes. But it is, you know, a sacrifice required for the future of the human race. I hasten to add that since each man will be required to do prodigious service along these lines, the women will have to be selected for their sexual characteristics, which will have to be of a highly stimulating nature.
I must confess, you have an astonishingly good idea there, Doctor.
started our Dr. Strangelove set with Boom Boom from the Animals, a fabulous version of John Lee Hooker's classic, produced by the mighty Mickey Most. My Kind of a Girl was the Ramones from Subterranean Jungle, 1983. Richie Cordell and Glenn Kowatkin producing. I Have a Boyfriend by maybe my favorite girl group, the Chiffons, written by Jeff Barry and Ellie Greenwich and produced by Hank Medress. Judy Craig singing that sexy lead. Black Coffee. Rival Sons, baby. Yeah. Gonna be on their new album coming out. You can get it if you go see them. They put it on the tour edition of Great Western Valkyrie. And Electric Flag, Mike Bloomfield's band after he left Paul Butterfield. They did basically one cool album, a long time coming. Not counting the soundtrack to the trip. Very cool stuff. We'll be back with one of our favorite former Freaks of the Week.
Sigues en Rock FM en pleno Underground Garage de Little Steven. Esta noche nos adelantamos unos días al cumpleaños de un personaje de lo más particular y activo, el señor Andrew Luke Oldham. Este inglés nació un 29 de enero de 1944. Mira, fíjate, 20 años antes de que se estrenara la película Teléfono Rojo Volamos hacia Moscú. Y a lo largo de su vida, bueno, pues ha desempeñado todo tipo de trabajos desde sus comienzos. Colaboró con la diseñadora británica de moda Mary Quant, trabajó como publicista para artistas como Little Richard, Bob Dylan, Phil Spector o los Beatles y, sobre todo, representó a The Rolling Stones desde 1963 hasta 1967. Oldham, por ejemplo, fue quien animó a los Stones a que compusieran sus propias canciones. En 1965, en medio de esta vorágine de comienzos de los Stones, fundó su propio sello discográfico junto a Tony Calder, bajo el título de Immediate Records, firmando con bandas como Fleetwood Mac, Small Faces o John Mayall, entre otros muchos. También fue él quien diseñó la imagen de chicos malos de los Stones en contraposición de los Beatles, lanzando frases como ¿permitirías que tu hija se citara con un Rolling Stone? En fin, un hombre al que no le faltaba nunca una buena idea y que supo entender el rock and roll desde muchas facetas distintas. En este ratito de radio vamos a escuchar algunos discos en los que su influencia, directa o indirecta, está presente. Cuando quieras, maestro.
That song could mean only one thing. It's Andrew Lou Oldham's birthday. The basic bio would read, born January 29th, 1944, in London, to an Australian mother and a father from Texas, who died in the war before he was born. He worked for legendary mod fashion designer Mary Quant, became a publicist for Little Richard, Sam Cooke, Bob Dylan, Phil Spector, and the Beatles. He then discovered, publicized, managed, and produced the Rolling Stones from 1963 to 1967, the period during which they would produce two-thirds of their greatest records. His innovations were profound, beginning with being a manager who was the same age as the band, 19 years old to be exact, and before Shel Talmy and perhaps a handful of others, he'd be among the first in England to keep ownership of the master recordings and license them back to the record label, before starting his own indie label, Immediate Records. He would encourage the Stones to become songwriters, which hadn't occurred to them before, being in their minds an authentic rhythm and blues band. And if you weren't Willie Dixon, songwriting was left for people living in the pop world. He would be the business embodiment and more obvious version of leader Brian Jones' quiet arrogance, a man he probably had more in common with than he'd care to admit. And it wouldn't be until Brian's death that the new leaders, singer Mick Jagger and guitarist Keith Richards, would gain the confidence that we've seen in them as they both would in their own ways become parts of Brian Jones. Andrew's most creative contribution to the Renaissance zeitgeist was the novel notion that bad publicity, with the right spin, could be quite useful. He would turn on its head the concept that a publicist's job was to exaggerate the good things, or make them up, and hide, bribe away, or at worst, diffuse the bad stuff. This whole bad boy thing would become the fundamental component of bands' entire careers in the future. From The Who, to Led Zeppelin, to the Sex Pistols, to Guns N' Roses, to Primal Scream, to Libertines, and it'll never stop. The problem is, occasionally, a clever manager, or publicist, or an artist themselves, will forget that behind Andrew's events, rumors, and headlines, the band had the substance to back it up. He knew once he'd gotten them attention, they'd do the rest. But the twists and turns fate takes are not as inevitable as retrospection would make them look. Without Andrew Lou Goldham, it is very possible the Rolling Stones would still be playing R&B on weekends at some Richmond blues club, like so many others around them at the time. Many better musicians than they were. Here's a few records that Andrew Lou Goldham is responsible for.
Yeah. let's skip the build-up. Get down to the main event.
All righty. I got a position I want you to fill. Now, it's not the usual press agent's routine. It's an important job that calls for an important man and pays important money, and I think you're important. Interested?
Well, I didn't come here to work out.
Since their formation, the Stones had gradually escalated their assault on middle-class values. The press, in turn, escalated their assault on the band's reputation.
The British government took this mythology that Andrew Oldham had created for real, and they thought they were really under threat from a bunch of rock and roll yobs.
But I'd much rather be with them.
This is Ian McLagan from the Small Faces, and you're with Little Stephen in the Underground Garage, you lucky people.
We started our tribute to Andrew Luke Oldham with Have You Seen Your Mother Baby Standing in the Shadow, an amazing single, a hit single, and an absolute assault on the senses. Fantastic. From Andrew's label Immediate came Le Fleur de Lis. No, they were not from France, they were from Southampton. Circles, of course, the cover of Pete Townsend's classic. As Tears Go By, the first production other than the Stones Andrew would do, from the wonderful Marianne Faithfull, who never understood how wonderful she was. I'm not sure she does yet, and she's still wonderful. I'd much rather be with the boys from Raining Sound, one of my favorite albums ever, Time Bomb High School. Get it from intheredrecords.com. The Small Faces were signed to Immediate, and they did most of their best work. Call It Something Nice was one of them, from There Are But Four Small Faces. And another fantastic co-write by Andrew and Eric Wilson, Baby Make It Soon, my favorite Chris Farlow track, from Immediate 1966. We thank you, Andrew, for being part of the business of delivering human happiness, or however you put it. We'll be back with our coolest song in the world this week.
Aquí me tienes de vuelta. Cada semana Little Steven me tiene en ascuas por descubrir cuál será la canción más chula de la semana. Pues bien, esta noche tenemos unos protagonistas especiales, muy merecedores de ostentar el título de canción más chula de la semana. Es una de las 5 bandas que serán incluidas el próximo mes de abril en el Salón de la Fama del Rock. Ellos son Cheap Trick, la formación de Rockford, Illinois, que precisamente en abril publicarán nuevo disco, Bang Zoom Crazy Hello. Será el 17º de su carrera y para celebrar su incorporación al Rock and Roll Hall of Fame han decidido lanzar un adelanto de este nuevo álbum a modo de regalo. Es un honor poder presentar a Cheap Trick en la canción más chula de la semana del Underground Garage de Little Steven, No Direction Home. Dale tú, Little.
Our coolest song in the world this week comes from the rock and roll capital of the world, Rockford, Illinois. Please welcome back to the Underground Garage stage, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, Cheap Trick.
Get get a charge out of spooking the citizens in a straight neighborhood. They live in a different world, in a strange cop-out world of their own making. With a kick pedal and the boot, they work off their frustrations on the man in the street. When things get uptight, the open road stretches out like a tempting woman. Feed in the gas, baby, and you're free. But as tough as they look, not one of these cats can cut it with society. And they like it like that.
Little games are for little boys. I'm growing up and changing all my toys. Aeroplanes, motor cars, goldfish, and old jam jars. I just don't play these games no more. Little games are for little boys. Loving games are for bigger boys. Parties in Chelsea flats, mixing with kinky cats, are games I wanna play some more. Who, what they're doing to me? Darling, it's so plain to see. My temperature's rising, but that's not surprising when you do what you do to me. Little games are for little boys. I found out there are other joys. Margaret, Josephine, Susie, and Catherine, they help me in my little games. What they're doing to me, darling, it's so plain to see. My temperature's rising, but that's not surprising when you do what you do to me. Little games are for little boys. I found out there are other joys. Margaret, Josephine, Susie, and Catherine, they help me in my little game.
Oh, stitch this bar to school. Take a ride in my car, hang loose at my swinging flat, the truth. I'm a real gone cat.
Wandered around and around that midnight in the railroad yard, wondering where to go, and went, leaving no broken hearts. Who lit cigarettes in boxcars, 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 racketing through snow toward lonesome farms and Grandfather Night.
Started that set with our coolest song in the world this week, No Direction Home, from Cheap Trick's 17th upcoming album, Bang Zoom, Crazy Hello. Big Machine, yeah. Label mates with Taylor Swift. See, I knew I liked her. You can get that song for free. It does say free, right, Dennis? Okay. If not, you're going to have to pay for it. CheapTrick.com. Yeah, free, baby. I think Rick Nielsen lost the bet, right? Rick bet Robin, you know. We get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, we'll give away the single. Yeah, the album is coming, and it's going to be very cool. The whole thing written and produced by Cheap Trick, who, in case you didn't know, Rick Nielsen, Tom Peterson, Robin Zander, and Dax Nielsen, Rick's son. They're playing drums now for a while, and they're still phenomenal.
Another fabulous Mickey Most production, Little Games, from the Yardbirds. Coolest solo ever, huh, with the cello. Amazing stuff.
Far Out was the Cherry Drops out of Los Angeles. Cool stuff. Get it from thecherrydrops.com.
And the Turtles, She'd Rather Be With Me, written by Gary Bonner and Alan Gordon, and produced by Joe Wizard. Don't go nowhere, baby, because we got more cool stuff.
Esto es Rock FM y sigues en el Underground Garage de Little Steven. Estamos despidiendo el fin de semana como cada domingo a ritmo de rock. Y ya que estamos llegando al final del show de esta noche, voy a detenerme un momento en algunas de las canciones que nos propone el guitarrista de Springsteen para darnos las buenas noches. Comenzaremos con una de las grandes heroínas del rock, la señorita Joan Jett, una artista que me encantaría poder disfrutar en directo. A sus 57 años parece estar muy lejos de decirle adiós al escenario. Echando un vistazo a su web, veo que tiene prácticamente todo el año copado de conciertos. Ahora bien, parece también que le cuesta salir de casa. De momento solo actuará en Estados Unidos y en Canadá. En fin, escucharemos una de las canciones que se incluyeron en uno de sus últimos trabajos junto a The Black Hearts, Sinner. La canción será Change the World. También aprovecho para adelantarte que esperamos la visita de un viejo rockero como es el señor Michael Monroe. Quien fuera la voz de la banda Hanoi Rocks vendrá con su canción All Kings Road de su disco Blackout States, que ya tienes desde el año pasado en el mercado. No serán los únicos, es cierto, hay más, pero casi mejor vamos poco a poco. Dale, maestro.
Once upon a time, January 28th, 1521 to be exact, the Diet of Worms began.
Ew.
It was somewhere between the Atkins diet and the South Beach diet, started by some cat named Martin Luther. Maybe you saw him on Oprah. The year before, Pope Leo X had issued a papal bull, which was a competing diet with more protein, which he called Exsurge Domine, to get to the ever-growing Hispanic population. Luther had been criticizing the Pope relentlessly, which had really opened up a can of worms. Emperor Charles V sided with Leo the Pope and issued the Edict of Worms. The guy was a real snake, if you ask me. So Luther, realizing that the Edict of Worms meant he'd soon be sleeping with them, went on the lam. So while he was there at Wartburg Castle, since he couldn't get online and had nothing to do, Luther translated the Bible into German. And that's why, to this day, Protestants are usually thinner than Catholics.
We'll be right back.
don't work. It's this whole good bad thing. You're good for a week, then you take one bite of cheesecake, you lose control. You're on the phone, pizza place, send over 9 pies. I'm completely out of control now, yeah. I want everything on there, hatch chairs, whatever you got, slap it on that pie. How long does it take you to get here? An hour? Take an ambulance, I'll pay the difference.
No more work. We're destitute. Come in, my little loves. I've got no option but to sell you all for scientific experiments. No, that's the way it is, my loves. Blame the Catholic Church for not letting me wear one of those little rubber things.
So turned around, know that it's real. Yeah, I'm on the cloud. When I'm on my knees, I say, oh, help me please. Got that love disease, got that love disease. Oh, such a good feeling. I'm here with tears on my cheek. I'm so glad, but I'm mad. Most folks cry when they're sad. So strong, so weak. I got that fever. Oh, I'm so at ease. Oh, won't you help me, please? Got that love disease. Got that love disease. Oh, see the witch doctor. Ask him what's wrong with me. He gave me soup on my head and on fire.
Hello, this is Peter Noon, Herman from Herman's Hermits, and you're with Little Stephen in the Underground Garage, which is a very groovy place to be, just as long as you're not alone.
Recipe for Diet of Worms begins with a black heart, or two, or three. Change the World was Joan Jett and the Blackhearts from their classic, Sinner. And if you haven't got it, you're going straight to hell. According to Martin Luther, it's not me.
Old King's Road was Michael Monroe. We all know Michael from Hanoi Rocks and many cool solo records and Demolition 23. Brand new record, very cool. Blackout States, produced by Chips Keasby. And Old King's Road, written by Steve Conte, Rich Jones, and Sammy Yaffa. All three joined Michael with Carl Rockfist. And this is any indication it's going to be a hell of an album.
Pouring It All Out was from Graham Parker and a rumored second album, Heat Treatment. Amazingly cool 1976 stuff. Written by Graham Parker and produced by Mutt Lange. From Paul Butterfield's middle period, around 69 or so, came Keep On Moving and Love Disease, written by Gene Dinwiddie. tenor sax player in the band. At that stage, Paul had a whole horn section. Fabulous stuff, produced by Jerry Ragavoy. And we close the show with Jezebel from Herman's Hermit, their fourth album. There's a kind of hush all over the world, written by Wayne Shanklin and giving Mickey Most a production trifecta.
I have to face stupid reality again.
We want to thank our presenting sponsor, the Seminole Hard Rock Cafes, Hotels, and Casinos Worldwide. We want to thank the Voice of America, Jimmy Bertel, which goes to all over the not-so-free world. And we want to thank American Forces Radio, where we are in 177 countries. Yeah, that's Curtis Eckstein and Thomas Arnholt. Thank you, Curtis and Tommy. Don't forget, if you're up there in, what town's that in?
Rochester!
Thank you, Jack. If you're up there in Rochester, go visit Andy Babuk. Or you could reach him, of course, the modern way, AndyBabukesFabGear.com. But go to the joint itself, which is very cool, Andy Babuk's Fab Gear.
Allow me. I'm a bit of a famous mimic in my own small way, you know. James Cagney. Hello there, this is the famous Ringo here, Gear Fab. What is it that I can do for you, as it were, Gear Fab?
Not a bit like Cagney.
Yeah, that Scotland Yard always gets it wrong. Not Gear Fab, it's Fab Gear. And if somebody gets you a radio station for your birthday, call up Andy Denmark and Lori Logan at unitedstations.com, and then you can broadcast this radio show. Go to undergroundgarage.com for various contests and you can check out the archives of some 600 shows or so. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/undergroundgarage. Follow us on Twitter at littlesteven_UG. I know I've been not tweeting lately, but I got to get back to it. I promise I will. At Stevie Van Zandt. I want to thank our inevitable producer, Dennis Mortensen, our coordinating producer, Jeremy Tufano, and I want to thank Alan Freed, without whom we would not be here. Thank you all out there. We'll see you all next week.
And that's the name of that tune.
Ciao, baby.
Nice ride.
Come back to Jersey, you moron!
10 Entertainment.
Bueno, familia, hasta aquí el Underground Garage de esta noche, en el que hemos disfrutado de un programa, digamos, ecléctico, en el que ha habido de todo un poquito. Cine, por supuesto, música, la canción más chula de la semana. Hemos buceado un poco también en la historia del representante, productor y, en fin, publicista. Hay que ver la cantidad de cosas que hacía este hombre, Andrew Luke Oldham, que cumplirá años el próximo 29 de enero. En fin, ha sido un programa completo que espero que hayas disfrutado y con el que decimos adiós al fin de semana, pero que simplemente tú y yo nos emplazamos hasta dentro de 7 días en el Underground Garage aquí en Rock FM. Hasta entonces, por supuesto, te deseo una feliz semana. Yo soy Carlos Medina y te mando un abrazo muy fuerte. Little, hasta luego.